open the soul, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the
even now, as we look in the Word, it's all about you. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So it is all about you. Thank you because you will help us to appreciate the intent of your heart tonight from your Word. Thank you because you speak to us. Grant us the unction to understand your word in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 17. And while you're looking that up, I have a few, you know, testimonies, you will call them, you know, just to help us out. Thank you. You know, right about 3 weeks ago it was, when I was in Ibadan on the weekend, have 3 days of meetings at the church for the anniversary there. And I think the following week, Pastor BD was sharing a testimony how, you know, just a few days afterwards, I think in fact the day after the Sunday meeting, you know what I always tell you, that when God brings somebody to your heart, you know, don't take it for granted. You're a spirit being. Okay, Christianity is for living, and you're a spirit being. Can I hear you say I'm a spirit being? So if you live your life, you know, and you submit your life to God, you are trying to live for God, you are trying to know Him more, then that reality of who you are in Christ, that reality becomes your reality. You know, you will experience the supernatural naturally very often. Can I have an amen? And so I tell you that when God brings somebody to your heart, do something about it. The first thing you do is to pray. The second thing you can do is to try to reach out to that person, okay? One way or the other, a phone call, a message or whatever. Just try to, or you can even drop by at the person's house. So he said God brought this person to his heart, that's Pastor BJ's heart, and, you know, he prayed and prayed for the person, and then he had, you know, a word or two for that person that he believed was for that person, and he sent it. This person was outside the country, sent it to the person, and then I think the person called, you know, and I also know because I spoke to the person now, sometime afterwards, you know, but the person called and said, you know, I was expecting that message, and said that I had been praying, going through some things, I'd been believing God and praying about those things, and God gave me some, you know, God gave me a word, and what God told me, I wrote down, you know, and all of that, and she actually screenshotted, it's not my mother tongue, she took a picture, amen, so took a picture of it and sent it to him. And said, what you sent to me is exactly what God said to me. And when I was speaking to her, she said, you know, and God told me that as a confirmation, you know, somebody you know and that her heart went to Pastor BJ or me is going to call you or is going to get in touch with you. And that will be a confirmation to you. But this thing that I said to you is true. And that's what's going to happen. And then Pastor BJ contacted her and sent exactly the same things that God has said to her. Can I have an amen? So the supernatural is real. Hallelujah. You know, also in the span of just the last 1 week, somebody came to my mind at first. I was just praying. And then this family came to my mind. We used to live in the same neighborhood many years ago. This must have been 20 years ago. So we used to live in the same neighborhood, and they just came to mind, you know, and I thought about them, thought about their dad, you know, and all of that, and then I took a little time and prayed for him and prayed for them and all of that, and I made a mental note that I would get in touch, you know, I'm too busy at the moment, I remember to contact them or anything. So it was 2 days ago. But I got in touch. I looked at my phone and I said, whose number do I have, you know, among them? So I saw the eldest had his number. He's a pastor, you know, in another city. So I sent him, I called him, you know, and just called him and said, hey, how are you, blah, 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 and how is everybody, you know, and I asked for everybody and I asked, how is your dad, you know, and then he spoke and I told him why I called, you know, that you came to mind and all of that, and I prayed, you know, and I prayed for your dad, I prayed for you guys, and I felt I needed to get in touch. He said, in fact, Buddy just got discharged, you know, from the hospital. He had had a stroke. He said, and I knew somebody was praying. He said, so that's a confirmation to me, but I knew something was happening, and for you to call me now. And out of the blue, he says, just been discharged, he's sitting beside me, you know, and then I spoke to the dad, greeted him and all of that. I'm just telling you something about, you know, the reality of those things that were said. So again, yesterday night, again, somebody that had been on my mind for the last 2 days, and I prayed, you know, she's pregnant, used to be, again, in my neighborhood, she was pregnant the last time I saw her, I knew she would. Was due for delivery about this time. I'll speak to her husband every now and then, you know. But then she came to mind. I prayed for her, prayed about her delivery and all of that. And then I wanted to call. 2 days ago, I wanted to call. I somehow, you know, couldn't call again. Busy, right time, wrong time, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought I would call the husband. And I said, no, I'm not going to call him. I need to call her. She's the one, you know. I need to contact her directly and not call the husband. And then yesterday night, it was close to bedtime. I was about to sleep. Then I remembered again. And I said, well, they're outside the country, another time zone. I can still call at this time, you know, for them. And I'm going to call. Otherwise, this will keep happening. I won't be able to speak to them and all of that. So I called. And then she picks the phone. And I, you know, greeted her and all of that. And in fact, before I called, I sent her a message, you know, a scripture about delivery and all that. And then I called. And then she picks up and I said, well, this is why I called you. You came to mind. And I was just praying for you. I was praying for you yesterday. I was praying for you this morning. And I felt I needed to send you a message. You know, how are you doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. And your delivery will be fine. And she started laughing. I said, why? She said, I just delivered today. She said, I delivered today. She said, actually, I thought that was why you were calling, that you had heard. I said, no, I've not heard anything. But you were on my mind. And this is what I do. If you come to my mind like that, this is my next line of action. I said, so that's why I called you. And that's why I even told myself, because I don't usually call you directly. I told myself, this one, I will call you, you know, and not your husband. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so God is good. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Acts chapter 17. I think it was announced on Sunday that if you had questions, you had things that, especially doctrinally, that you wanted us to trash, people should bring that up. But nobody sent anything, you know. So, yeah, laughing. You know, nobody sent anything. The reason is because it had been coming to my mind, you know, how we are being bombarded. We are being bombarded by all sorts now, you know, on the internet. And this is not about anyone or anything, so I'm not going to say any specific things, you know, so that you don't think this is about that. No, it's not. What I'm actually speaking about tonight, then, is what I tagged the charge to interrogate, the charge to interrogate, you know. So we have a charge. A charge means that we have been commanded, we are expected to, we are charged with a duty. And that duty is to interrogate things, okay? That duty is to interrogate the things of God, interrogate spiritual things. That duty is for us not to just swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker. And it doesn't matter where it's coming from. It doesn't matter how big the church is. It doesn't matter how small the church is. In fact, interestingly, in the days that we are in now, you can't even tell. Because the internet, you know, some are super experts, you know, that on the internet, they are reaching the world. That's the truth of the matter, okay? So I'm not disparaging that. They are reaching. But the internet carries the message so much that people just accept what it is without interrogating the issues and interrogating the facts and the scriptural basis of what is being said. As long as you can produce a very nice, what would you call it now? Sound bites or very nice video and all of that, and your background looks nice, the camera you're using is great, the sound quality is good, then, and you are fluent, and sometimes you have some manifestations. I call them some manifestations, because also not every manifestation is the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? You know, but as long as you can have all of that, people take it all in. People take it in, forgetting that even Jesus told us that in the last days you'll get many things. Okay, even in terms of manifestations, you'll get many things. And there'll be even attempts to deceive if it were possible, the scripture said. You know, if it were possible, even the elect. Meaning that the elect, you know, to be deceived is to say that I just really didn't know. So when he says to deceive, I think that's Matthew 13:13, to deceive If it were possible, it means that it's not possible. It means that the elect will know. Now, it doesn't mean that they cannot override what they know, you know, to swallow things. It doesn't mean that, but it means that deep within them, they will always know. I like the way somebody put it. He said, your spirit is always right. Your spirit always knows the truth. Your mind may be wrong, but your spirit always knows. So there are things that happen, and you will say to yourself, and I knew. Now, in your mind, no. You rationalize many things, but when it happened, you knew. You said to yourself, I knew. Something told me. I felt something was off. I just didn't know what. You know, so as a child of God, you will always know. Can I have an amen? But what we want to do, or what we are expected to do, is to grow enough in our walk with God such that whether by the scriptures or by the leading of the Holy Ghost, we are able to tell and we also obey what we know deep within us. Can I have an amen? So Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Or let me see if I take it. Acts 17, verse 10. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fear-minded. Can I hear say fear-minded? These were more fair-minded. The old King James says they were more noble. Noble. Who would you think is noble? You know, what would you use? Who would you use the word noble for? What impression comes to your mind when you say somebody is noble? That is a noble man. Well, you know, what would you think of? Is like prestigious? Is respectable? Yeah, so it's a respectable person. So these were more respectable people, fair-minded, noble people than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Can I hear you say with all readiness? So this is also important, because when you begin to speak like this or teach like this, people think that you are talking about being critical. This is not about being critical. Are you with me? Because they received the word with all readiness. They were ready. They wanted to hear the word. They were there. They received it. They were eager. They were listening attentively. They were not there to mark scripts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I've been to one or two places where when I got on the stage, it's just something you just sense, you know. And I usually spend a few minutes just dousing the tension. And then in one or two places, I tell the people, okay, so hear me out. I tell a few things. I say a few things. And I say, well, now you hear my English. You can assess. Can he speak good English? You can assess. I say, look at my outfit. So you have seen it all now. I said, now let's focus. You know, I haven't finished with all of our distractions. Let us focus now on God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said they received it with all readiness. So there were people who were there. They wanted to hear the word. They listened to the word. They paid attention. They were not there to mark. Because some people are sitting there, and all the while somebody is speaking, they are not listening with all readiness. They are trying to assess. Can this guy really preach? You know, it's not very good. Well, it's average. Yeah, he's trying small. He's even quoting scripture. Wow. So he even knows he can quote. He quoted three verses. He's trying. You understand? That's the way some people are operating when they sit down there. It's not a case of, I want to hear what God has to say to me. And that's what it's describing here. However, their nobleness is not just in their readiness to hear God's word. The Bible says, and they did what? They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Now, do you understand this? So these guys were considered respectable. So God, in inspiring the writing of the scriptures, used the word respectable to describe them, the word noble to describe them. I think the Amplified added another word, you know, to describe them. But they were noble in that, number one, they received the word with all readiness. But there was a second side to that coin, which is that they also searched the scriptures daily. Can I hear you say, search the scriptures daily? So they received with all readiness. They were spongy. You know, spongy. They soak in. You know, spongy. There's one cloth that my wife bought sometimes. I said, you know, this one is special. You know, when somebody travels and buy duster, I mean, what do you call it, napkin? You say, why would you go and buy a napkin? You know, and I said, no. Somebody showed me this one. And that this cloth has a way, it just absorbs the water. You know, very small piece. Small piece like your, what do you call them, face towel. You know, a little smaller than that, actually, than the regular face towel. And it's very useful. Especially because I don't like cleaning gas cookers. You know, but with that one and the way it takes up the water, I'm happy to wash gas cooker. Are you following what I'm saying? It's spongy. So these guys were noble because they were spongy. They absorb. I was thinking, this is not quite related to that, but a little related, you know. I was thinking that when it comes to God's power also, I found out that, you know, somebody said God's power, the anointing is like electricity. You know, so he said that the same way that electricity is conducted is the same way that it feels like God's power flows, you know, when the anointing flows. And I was thinking, you know, in the last 1 week, I was just driving and thinking and praying and thinking. And I was thinking, you know, there are people who are conductors, semiconductors, and non-conductors. Eh? Is it non-conductor, they say? Uh-huh. You know, did anybody do science and you remember that one? You know, so there are people who are conductors. So there are certain things like, if you see that, what would I say now? If you saw your dog go and it climbed on, you know, naked electrical wire, and your dog is doing like this, and doing like this, and then you go and take a nice iron rod, to knock the dog off, what will happen? You two, you do like this. Why? Because the iron rod is a conductor. Abby, what would be a semiconductor? Which one will conduct? So semiconductor means what? It conducts semi. So it means it only conducts more. You understand? It doesn't conduct enough. And then the non-conductor doesn't conduct. You know, so if you wanted to then do that, you could use rubber. You know, you add some rubber around, you know, wood around. Then you can use that to push the dog away because the wood is a non-conductor. You know, so the same way with God's power, some people are conductors. So I was thinking, if somebody is a conductor, it's a good thing. You know, when it comes to God's power. So electricity, for instance, when you want to, you know, electrify your house and all that, you use wires. The wires have what? Metal inside them, because that is a conductor. You want it to conduct. Okay, so it's a good thing. Anyway, leave that on the side. So we're talking about the fact that these guys are noble, and their being noble is tied to the fact that they had two characteristics. They received the word of God with all readiness. And number two, they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Are you with me? Now, hear this. The people who came to teach them were who? Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. These were no mean preachers, you know. They were not average preachers. But yet these guys were searching the scriptures daily. They were excited. Woo! Reverend Paul and Bishop Silas are the ones who are taking the convention in their city. So they were excited. They were receiving with all readiness, but they were also going back and checking. And say, Reverend Paul said, is that really so? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, That characteristic is what I'm describing as the charge to interrogate. The command to interrogate and see. Is it really so? The things that I'm seeing. the things that I'm hearing, is it really so? You know, and I'm not talking about just somebody telling a testimony of a miracle that a woman had a child who has no womb. God can do anything. Okay? So that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about certain other things and certain other dimensions, for instance, starting with teachings. You know, so a lot of times I'm listening to things, or, you know, you browse and see some of the things, and I'm listening. This person is saying something interesting. I'm wondering within my heart, okay, I'm not sure, but it's interesting. And I'm listening, and I'm saying to myself, okay, let me listen a little bit more, because I want to hear the underlying scriptural basis for what he's teaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Again, like I said, I'm not giving any specific examples, but I've heard people say all kinds of things. There are three dimensions in the spirit realm. There are five dimensions in the spirit realm. And I'm saying, oh yeah, tell me more. Huh? Madam, you know something? The way she's already laughing. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, tell me more. You know, so I'm listening, even though I thought I was just going to browse, you know, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, but then I stay. Because I'm like, that's interesting. You know, let me hear that. And then I'm listening, and the person is just talking about experience. You know, and he's not talking about scriptures. He's not trying to lay out the scriptures. And he's not telling me that this is not scriptural. This is just what he has observed and what it seems to be like. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, I mean, Paul, when he was writing at some point, wrote to them and he said, it seems to me and to the Holy Ghost. It seems good to me and to the Holy Ghost. What was he saying? He's saying, God didn't tell me this one. But it seems good to me, and the Holy Ghost doesn't seem to be bothering me about it. In another place, he then wrote to them, he said, now I, Paul, not the Holy Ghost, say. Are you following what I'm saying? He was saying, now this one is me. It's me. It's Paul talking. God didn't tell me to tell you this. Paul, I am Paul. I'm the one writing this one to you, not God. So I'm okay if you told me, I seem to see this, or I seem to have experienced it this way. But when you teach it as doctrine and as a fact of doctrine, and there's no scriptural basis, then I go, uh-oh. And many times, I quickly move on. And I go, no scriptural basis here. Are you following what I'm saying? I said, are you following me? Now, to the charge to interrogate lies, because again, we are in a society and a time where people feel like, if the bishop said it, if the reverend said it, if the apostle said it, who am I? Are you hearing what I'm saying? But that's not Bible. That's why I started with this as my text, to show you that God called these people noble. They are not disobedient, they are not rude, but he called them noble because they were receiving the word, but they were also searching the scriptures. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To see if, because he told us what they were searching the scriptures for, to see if those things were so. They were double checking. But okay, yeah, that's true. That's what the Bible teaches. Oh, that's true. That's what the scriptures say. That's true. But are you following what I'm saying? Now, you must not feel bad because you felt the need to check the scriptures if those things were so. That's why I call this the charge to interrogate, a command to interrogate. Okay, Revelations 1:6 says that we have been made priests unto God. So even the priests in the Old Testament were not all just priests; they were chief priests. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the priests were the people who stood between God and man. Now he says in the New Testament, all of us are priests. Are you getting what I'm saying? Meaning that nobody is standing between you and God. Are you following me? So you have access to God. Use your access to God. What we have carried over very often, like I think it was Andrew Womack that put it that way, and I just laughed. I loved it so much. He said, we take a little bit of the Old Testament, then we add it to a little bit of the New Testament, then we make up our own testament. Like concussion rice. A little old, a little new, we mix it up, then which testament we are operating by, we don't even know. It's our own testament. Are you with me? So it's under the New Testament that people did not have access to God. Are you hearing me? You know, when they said that Jesus died on the cross, and when he died on that cross, the Bible says that that veil, you remember that? The veil in the temple, the Bible says, was torn all the way from top to bottom. Now, if you read the scriptures, you discover that that veil is very thick and very high and all of that. And what was it covering? It was covering the holiest, the holy of holies, where only the high priest went into. Now, the Bible says it was torn, meaning that God was saying, hey, access is now available to everybody. That time when somebody can do boju-boju, because it's whatever the priest comes out to say. Okay? The only other set or other person that God said should have a copy of the scriptures was the king. And God said, look, if you want a king, this is what the king will do to you. He said, but I'm asking that the king should write a copy. And he should read it every day so that he may have a heart that fears God. Okay, so the only other person that had access to the oracles of God was the king, apart from the priests. But in the New Testament, God says he has made us, I mean what? Kings and priests unto God. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you relating to what I'm saying? So we're expected. Go to Romans chapter 12. We're expected to question. Okay, let me put it that way. We're expected to question. Or it's okay to question. But you must be able to, or you must do it according to knowledge, according to scriptures. Okay, so Romans chapter 12. And verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, I'm using this scripture to show you one thing. Number one is that when you talk about prophecy, prophecy in simple terms means inspired utterance. You are inspired by the Holy Ghost to utter inspired utterance. That's what it is, okay? And it's not foretelling. When you read the New Testament, and it's using prophecy there, or you see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's not talking about foretelling. You know foretelling? Foretelling is that three highly placed people will die this year in Nigeria. Are you with me? Now, how won't three highly placed people die? You understand? First question is three. We are 200 million people plus. Second question is, who is highly placed? Are you following what I'm saying? But I'm using this, or let me put it this way. Again, I'm seeing a lot of that, okay? Because I am becoming weary of even people who are quick to want to ascribe glory and say, I prophesied that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then they do all kinds of many good videos to show when he prophesied it and when it happened. That's called Joshua methodology, or rather TB Joshua methodology. Okay? Where people want to show, I prophesied it, and then I listened to what he prophesied. He is three highly placed people. Are you following what I'm saying? Is that I'm using something very bland. I can give you specific examples. Okay? And I'm saying to myself, he's trying to draw attention to himself. And that's dangerous. Even if he was a genuine man of God, it's very dangerous. He's treading on very dangerous grounds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if he taught something, or he had to give an example and taught something in church and all that, fine, but when you specifically go and make videos to show, dangerous. Are you following me? But I said it also because of that word prophecy. But it's not foretelling. Foretelling, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, actually falls under the gift or the manifestation of the Spirit called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is foretelling. It's when somebody is able to talk about the future. Okay? The word is a word of God's wisdom and usually is futuristic. So the person is saying, like if you read under the Old Testament, they said to Samuel, I mean, what's his name? Saul was running around looking for his father's, is it donkey now that was lost? Or donkeys that were lost? And then they went to see the prophet. And the prophet said, look, what you are looking for has been found. However, you are also going to be king and all of that. So he switched from a word of knowledge, because the prophet only knew that by tapping into a word of God's knowledge, but then he now began to speak about the future. That was now a word of God's wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is an application of knowledge, and like I said, it's usually futuristic. So somebody says to you, you have this wrong with you. This is what you need to do. So he's giving you God's wisdom, but he's telling you what you need to do. It's futuristic. Is that a little clear? Okay, so what you need to do is that with that, your business, you need to cut down on certain things that you're about to do. You're about to do some expansion. God is saying you need to cut down on some of those expansions and blah, blah, blah. That is futuristic now. Are you still with me? So when he still talks about prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy is still a manifestation of the Spirit. Okay? And like I said, it's inspired utterance. So even preaching and teaching will fall under prophecy, if you wish. Are you following what I'm saying? Because if a man is going to speak according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, let him speak as the mouthpiece or the oracle of God. Okay, if anybody speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. So he's inspired. So if I'm going to speak or teach and all of that, I have to wait on God. I have to depend on God. So it's inspired utterance. Are you following me? But it says that if you will do any of that, you do it what? Haven't then, Romans chapter 12 verse 6 is where I'm back to. He said, haven't then gives different, according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. He prophecy, let us do what? Prophesy in proportion. Can I hear you say in proportion? In proportion to our faith. And faith does what? Comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So it's in proportion to my knowledge that I can manifest the gifts of the Spirit accurately, and I can what? Assess or dissect God's word accurately. You understand what I'm trying to say to you now? That your ability, therefore, to deal with these things is going to be in proportion to your faith. Hallelujah. Time has already left us. Okay. So number one, weigh teachings. When you hear teachings, weigh them. Search the scriptures. See if those things are so. We've seen Acts chapter 17. Now, if we go back to Acts 17... If you go back to Acts 17, you know, so we read about the Bereans, Abby. The Bible called them noble. Now, if you go down, you see that they then went and they dealt with the Athenians in Athens. So, Acts 17:16 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. No, I don't think that's the one I want. Yes, his spirit was provoked. Within him, when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Jump to verse 19. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So the Athenians had itchy ears. It's a little different from readiness to hear God's word. Are you following me? They want to hear new stuff. New rev. Eh? So as long as you can give new rev. Are you following what I'm saying? So if I come up and I say, did you know Jesus was not the Son of God? New rev. The Athenians, their ears were straight like that. I had one guy when I was in school, his ears were straight out like that. So we call him a helicopter.
I think he remembers him. So the Athenians there, yeah, we just like satellite, they want to catch it. If it's new, just say something new. That's what they want to hear. They are not ready to hear the word. They are not. It's just that it's new. As long as it sounds like it's new, it's skinny, they are excited to hear. And they are swallowing it. So anybody come up with new stuff, they will absorb. Are you following me? A lot of that is happening today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, and sometimes I hear some teachings and I'm saying to myself, why do you think that nobody knows this except you? You know, why do you think that of course, nobody's an exaggeration. Because no error, okay? No error is new. There's nothing new under the sun. So when you begin to hear certain teachings now, people come up with it. Sometimes people might ask me a question about it or the other. I laugh and I say to them, we have heard it before. It's nothing new. It comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. It just goes around in circles. So sometimes it's like it's riding a wave. Then when the wave dies, it dies. Then again, another set of people will ride a wave. Are you with me? You know, so there's nothing new. So if, for instance, when that gentleman came up and started telling everybody, tight is not, I laughed. Nothing new. And many people jumped behind that bandwagon. And I said, that's going to be the guy to teach you the scriptures. Why do you think that nobody has heard this or nobody has taught this before? Why do you think so? It just shows that you yourself, you are not searching. Are you with me? Did you know that soon enough, he jumped to speaking in tongues? Then some of the even preachers that backed him up, they started shaking. When he started talking about speaking in tongues. Then one day, you know, they said he started a church. So I was curious. So one day, the church had radio time. So I was driving and I tuned in. And I was listening. And this guy was talking about the fact that Lucifer is not bad. I say, welcome to church. Now you know where the revs were coming from. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, so it starts small. But now he has gathered the people and they have arrived where they were going from the beginning. Are you still there? So, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said what? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He said you need to search the scriptures. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, that's flying in my head. 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So rightly dividing means that there's a wrong division. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying? And like somebody said, error is truth stretched a little too far. Somebody else said, error is not 100% false or falsehood. There'll be some truth within it. And that truth is what sucks people in. And then they get confused within the error. Are you still with me? Someday somebody sent me and said, please, listen to this. You know, and I listened. I don't have time to listen most times. But this was close family, so I listened. And when I listened, I laughed. You know, then I called. I said, why do you want me to listen? I said, what do you think about it? I said, you already know. That's why you sent it. Now, what do you think about it? And then she began to tell me her concerns and all that. I said, you are right. And then I now, you know, expounded further on it. Are you still there? He said, you know, I've been hearing many things. I've been saying many things. He said, but this one is like the last straw that broke the camel's back from that particular, you know, preacher. I said, you are right, you know. Hallelujah. Number two, like I said, weigh prophecies. So even when people are prophesying, but it doesn't mean that we despise prophesying. 1 Thessalonians 5.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5. So don't ever, ever come to the place where you become skeptical. Are you hear what I'm saying? You become skeptical about it. God does speak. Can I have an amen? Paul started off writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I'm writing to you so that you will know that the God you are dealing with now is not like one of those dumb idols. The word dumb there doesn't mean daft. It means one of those idols that can't speak. Okay? So he was saying, I'm writing you. You shouldn't be ignorant about spirituals. He said, before you were led to these dumb idols, meaning the God you are dealing with now is not dumb. He speaks. Okay? So don't ever get to that place, and that's not the intention, where you are skeptical. Okay? But don't get to that place where you never weigh things and where you never interrogate things either. Can I have an amen? So 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, do not despise prophecies. Can I hear you say, do not despise prophecies? So that's that critical place where you despise it. Once somebody said, God said, what to do? Then you are in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are in trouble. You need to check yourself. Something is wrong with you. But let the person say what God said. Abi? Verse 21 said what? Test all things, so you test it and hold fast to what is good. So test it and say, okay, he said this and this and this. This is not scriptural. I don't understand this one, so you put it in your left hand. This one is not scriptural, you put it in the dustbin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Test all things and hold fast. Hold fast to what is good. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me show you an interesting scripture. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. When we look at verse 29. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Very interesting scripture. If your Bible is original, if your Bible is original, not fake, not... They can't have GMO Bible, have you? They haven't modified. Well, you can have modified religion. And it's not been tampered with artificial intelligence. Have you? Then your Bible should say in 1 Corinthians 14, 29, let two or three prophets speak. And let what? The others judge. Is that in your Bible? Let two or three prophets speak. He didn't say let two or three people prophesy. Are you following what I'm saying? Because that's what some newer translations say. He said let two or three prophets speak. Let the others judge. So even if it's a prophet, are you hearing me? Even if it's a prophet, let two or three prophets speak. Let the others judge. You are not judging the prophet. You are judging the prophecy. Are you still with me? Be careful though about judging, you know, prophecy or manifestations about things on the basis of, or simply on the basis of, he said this will happen, it didn't happen. Be careful about that. I can't get into details of it. All I can tell you is be careful. Why? Because again, if you read scriptures, read the book of, what's his name now? Jonah, for instance. God sent Jonah, go and prophesy this. Jonah went, prophesied it, and he says Nineveh will be destroyed in 3 days. And then the people of Nineveh repented. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. And Jonah, prophet Jonah, was angry. And God said, why are you angry? He said, because I know you are a merciful God. And that's why I didn't want to come and prophesy this now. Because I knew that you would change your mind. Once the people just cry small and lie down small, you will change your mind. He says, that's why I didn't want to come. But if you ever heard Prophet Jonah on TV, and he said it, but you don't know the conversation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will go back and say, Prophet Jonah is false. Isaiah did similarly. So you might say Prophet Jonah is a minor prophet, have you?
Isn't that how we classify them? Minor and major prophets. So you take a major prophet like Isaiah. He went to the king and he told the king, set your house in order. You will surely die. And then he goes out. As he's going out, the king is praying and saying, God, Abba, Abba. After everything I have done, I tried now. I tried for you now. And God says, I will add 15 years. So he goes back. So can you imagine that prophet Isaiah was there, spoke to the king, and then barely before he gets out of court, he goes back and he says, God says, I will add 15 years. Can you imagine anybody who is dropped and heard him when he spoke to the king and said, you will surely die, but the guy had gone to do something. When he came back and said, you will add 15 years, he would go to his village and say, we've been believing that prophet for a long time. That guy, he just, that guy don't deceive us. So I was there when he told the king, you will surely die. He said, but that man is still alive. In fact, his hope is bouncing. He did, can't be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's not what we're saying. So number two is what, be careful with prophecies, okay? Weigh the prophecies, don't swallow them hook, line, and sinker. Number three, weigh manifestations of the Spirit. Okay, weigh manifestations of the Spirit. I can't spend much more or a lot of time now, but to say to you, 1 Corinthians 12, which I mentioned earlier, we're in 1 Corinthians 14, if you were opening your Bible. Verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So the word gift is italicized, meaning that they added it for meaning, but you can leave it as, now concerning spirituals or spiritual matters. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So God wants you to have knowledge about spiritual things, spiritual matters. And then, of course, the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the fact that you should desire spiritual gifts. However, 1 John chapter 4, okay, 1 John chapter 4 tells you very clearly that you need to watch out. And it says in verse 1, 1 John 4, 1, it said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So when you get manifestations, test. Test. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 16, Paul was going around, and then there was a lady following him. And what was she saying? She said, these are servants of the Most High God, hear ye them. Nothing clearly or obviously wrong. Isn't it? Nothing obviously wrong. But the Bible says after some days, Paul was grieved in his spirit. So he just had this grieving. There was this sensitivity within his spirit that told him, there's the spirit in this lady is not really Holy Ghost though. It's good marketing that she's announcing, people should listen, but who wants the devil as his marketing manager? You know, so Paul just had this grief within his spirit. And that's what you might call the discernment of spirits, the gift of the discernment of spirit. He just had a knowing. There was a grieving. Nothing was obviously wrong, but he just seemed to have that discerning of spirit come into manifestation, and he knew. And the Bible says he cast the spirit. The familiar spirit by which the lady was operating, cast that spirit out of her. Bam! You know what it meant? The lady used to earn. She was basically employed by certain people who would use the familiar spirit within her so she could tell people things. So as soon as Paul and Silas came, she knew these are men of God. It's a familiar spirit. And she was following them and saying that. So familiar spirits are spirits that can just, they see you, they know certain things about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They know certain things about you. So somebody can tell you some things about you. Big deal. Still test the spirit. That's what I'm saying to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Still test the spirit. So it doesn't mean that they can't know certain things, but test the spirit. Can I have an amen? Well, let me say it and maybe end on 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. I mentioned earlier Matthew 24:24 that talks about the fact that in the end times, many will come in my name and they will, you know, do all kinds of signs and wonders. But if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. So the Bible acknowledges that you see a lot of manifestations. Okay? And if it were possible, meaning that it's not possible, like I said earlier, why is it not possible? Because there's something inside of the child of God that will alert you. You may not know exactly what it is sometimes, but there will be an alarm bell going off on your inside that something is wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? I started from the point of your knowledge, okay? Your ability to flow or understand or assess the things of the Spirit, Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. I started with the fact that it begins with your proportion of faith, which is your proportion of God's word and knowledge, okay? That will help you to balance things out. Because sometimes there are believers who are just absolutely ignorant. If the Holy Ghost came, like Kenneth Hagin would say, that if the Holy Ghost walked down or into their room with a red cap on, they won't know. That's the Holy Ghost. So there are some believers who are that ignorant, even preachers who are that ignorant. So if they saw a manifestation of the Spirit, they'll be shaking because they just don't know. Are you hear what I'm saying? But when you know and you have a certain degree or proportion of faith, there are times when you can't see or you can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but deep inside of you, you will know. 1 John chapter 2. Let's read that very quickly and then I can stop. 1 John 2. But did you understand what I was trying to explain? 1 John 2 verse 18. He said, little children, it is the last hour. Can you imagine? Paul says it's the last hour then. What is it now? Eh? Last minute. Or last second of the last hour. Abi, it's the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. So if they have come then, how many now? By which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. So they looked like us, and some of them even came out from us. That's what Paul is saying. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you... Can I hear you say me? He said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Hallelujah. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. He said, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, I read a few verses before verse 20 in order to show you the context of that popular scripture. That the context of it is deception, is false manifestation, is false giftings, is false ministers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he's saying, look, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know. Hallelujah. For me, that's good news. Amen. I mean, for me, that's just absolute good news. It means no shaking. Hallelujah. No shaking. I know. I always say many years ago, I say, this person, blah, 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 blah. I say, do you have any tape, blah, blah? And then give me a videotape. And I was watching and my spirit was rumbling. I couldn't finish it. I put it off. I put it aside, returned it to the person. I didn't say anything. I just took notes. That this person, and then all kinds of news started coming out shortly after the guy was dead. And I thought to myself, I knew. I didn't know what, but I knew. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I couldn't explain to you other than what I said to you now, that I knew within me that something was off, that all the manifestations and things I was saying was not the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So we have a charge to interrogate. We have a charge to become noble, be ready to receive God's word, but search the scriptures daily. Amen. To see if those things are so. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for that unction from the Holy One. We thank you because we know the truth at all times. You said when the Holy Ghost comes, he will guide us into all truth. And he will show us even things that are yet to come. Thank you because the Holy Ghost is still here with us. You said he will be a comforter that will abide with us. He's not going anywhere. And we are just so grateful, Lord, that we are able to walk with you. We're able to search the scriptures. We're able to get understanding of the scriptures. And we cannot be subject to deception, even in this day and age. We take up our responsibility, oh God, which is the responsibility of spending time in the scriptures to study diligently also. And you will help us do this and grow thereby in the name of Jesus. Right now also, Lord, tonight I pray for everyone, whether online, whether here, whether on radio, wherever. And I pray indeed that you will help every one of us to walk by the things that we have heard in the name of Jesus. Lord, also I thank you because you said that you confirm your word with signs following. Let signs follow this word tonight. Let your power follow this word tonight. Let the distributions of the Holy Ghost follow this word tonight. Let miracles, signs, and wonders follow the word tonight. In the name of Jesus, the praise and the glory be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.